Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, some years ago, Joe Scheidler put together a video called Meet the Abortion Providers. And it was powerful and painful, too, to hear these dramatic life stories of people who actually were in the abortion industry and now are able to tell from the perspective of the inside out what is the truth about that industry. And this Saturday, Colorado Right to Life has their annual banquet, and I can't wait for the banquet. In fact, the social hour begins at 6. The dinner begins at 7. Of course, K-How's Dan Kaplis will be the MC, as we've told you in the past, and he's done that in past years. He's just great. And the speaker, the featured speaker, will be Kathy Sparks. And Kathy is one of the people featured in that video, Meet the Abortion Providers. Kathy, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
It's great to be with you, Bob.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you, but I'm hoping we can start off, Kathy. I know now you're the director of New Beginnings Pregnancy Centers in Granite City in Illinois and in a couple other cities. But could you tell us, can you back up and start from the beginning of your involvement with the abortion issue?
Sure. I got involved many years ago. It was about 27 years ago. And my husband and I were married, had a newborn baby, needed money. I was very pro-choice at that time. A friend of mine told me about an opening at our local abortion clinic, which is here in Granite City. And the name of that clinic, strangely enough, is called the Hope Clinic. Mm. Although we don't believe that they offer much hope down there.
No.
But they are one of the oldest abortion clinics in the United States. They've been doing abortions since 1973. And in fact, even now, they do them all the way through the 24th week. Mm. So it's a pretty large abortion industry here in our town. And at the time, I had 3 years of college studying to be a nurse, and they hired me as a medical assistant to actually assist the doctors during the abortion procedure. And the Saturday night, when I come to speak and share the entire testimony, I'll be sharing with those who attend the Light on Life banquet just kind of what it is to go through an abortion clinic. And, you know, God has just given me wonderful opportunities to travel all across the United States. I've been to Ireland, England. I've met doctors from literally all over the world who used to perform abortions and are now on the other side, as I am. And what I'm about to share this Saturday evening is not just taking place in Granite City, but it's taking place all over the world.
Wow. And so you got into the abortion industry, really, because you were pro-choice and because there was a job opening that you had heard about. Kathy, what was it that, why were you pro-choice back then?
Well, you know, it's really strange because I was brought up in a home. It was a religious type of home, but not a Christian home. And I was taught that abortion was wrong. In 1973, I was a junior in high school and actually wrote a paper arguing against abortion. But then I left my home. I went to college, a secular university, and got real involved in the feminist movement. And I just bought the lie, Bob, that you know, every woman has a right to her own body.
Yeah, so and, college, you know, was a major influence.
It was huge. It was huge. And you know, just all the peer pressure and the influence and what was happening in that day in 1975, 76, 77 was, you know, women were coming to the forefront and equal rights and everything else that they were fighting for in the late 70s, and I was just part of that. So then it's strange because my sophomore year of college, I actually wrote a paper arguing for abortion and why we needed to keep abortion rights legal in the United States. So isn't that strange how just in a few short years I had changed my position?
Well, we urge parents to consider on a separate but related issue sending their kids to schools that officially have a godless curriculum and that will teach their daughters how to go off during school hours and get an abortion. And so really we have our entire government school system in America, plus our universities that are strongly committed not only to an anti-Christian bias, but to aggressively lobby our children to be pro-abortion and other behaviors that are so destructive. So you're one example of the damage that's done, even in Christian families, to kids who are influenced by our education system.
Absolutely. And even you would think at the college level, my husband and I, our Christian friends, believe that, well, by the time they're 18, we hope we've done our job, but you really don't realize what kind of pressure takes place. I think that sometimes secular colleges can work if the children live at home. But see, I'm moved out of the home, so I had so much freedom and no parental guidance in the areas that were very, very important, morally, spiritually, et cetera. And at least when I was living at home, my parents made me go to church. You know, well, when I went off to school, I didn't have to. I had nobody instructing me, nobody covering me.
Right.
And so, anyway, yes, I absolutely am one of those statistics.
Yeah, and, you know, once a child becomes an adult, then, of course, they're an adult, and adults obviously may want to become architects or engineers, doctors, and there are not too many choices other than our secular universities for the most part.
Correct.
But when they're young and when they're in our care, and we as Christian parents send our kids to schools that have a godless curriculum, it's so tragic. I went to a public high school in New Jersey, and I remember 1973, that's Roe v. Wade is passed, and in our health class, I remember the teacher, a male teacher, telling us that if we were to get our girlfriends pregnant, we should consider an abortion. That was in 1973.
Boy, we can remember those days, can't we, Bob?
Yeah. Yeah, and that did that was a significant factor in messing up my thinking and my life for a number of years.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned that in Granite City, Illinois, the Hope Clinic there does abortions through the 24th week?
Correct.
And again, we're talking to Kathy Sparks, who's the executive director of New Beginnings Pregnancy Centers in a few cities in Illinois. Well, I just opened our Yellow Pages here, our phone company Yellow Pages, the Quest Dex. And on page 2, we have the Boulder Abortion Clinic ad, a quarter page ad. And the first bullet says, routine abortion through 26 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's advertised in the Yellow Pages in Colorado through 26 weeks. And Warren Hearn in Boulder, he's increased the number of weeks gradually over the years that he'll advertise in his ad.
My goodness.
So could you tell us what does that mean? If a baby is 26 menstrual weeks along in development, what does that mean for the development of the baby? Is it a little blob or?
That's a very, very good question, Bob, because when I worked at the abortion clinic, there were two questions that were asked to me every single time.
Mm.
Those two questions were, will it hurt, and is it a baby? Those were questions that were very important to these patients who were getting ready to have an abortion, and we were instructed to lie to them. We were to tell them that it was going to be minor cramping, even though we knew that those instruments and that suction machine was up to 29 times more powerful than a vacuum sweeper.
Oh.
So it's a lot of cramping. It's a lot of pain.
Mm.
The other question, is it a baby? We knew even at 8 weeks after conception, just so we're not even talking 26. That's way down the road.
Mm-hmm.
8 weeks after conception, Bob, that little baby has every single organ that you and I have. It's just going to develop. And, you know, when the procedures were done, and even if the patient was only 10 weeks, you could see a perfectly formed little baby laying right there on the tray. So we knew what the baby looked like. And yet, we were instructed that if we told them that they might feel bad about what they were doing. And, you know, back in those days, 27 years ago, they didn't know what post-abortion syndrome was, because they didn't really have a diagnosis such as post-abortion syndrome. But we know now that there are a lot of women throughout the United States and really throughout the world that are having a very difficult time dealing with their past abortion experience. You know, perhaps they didn't know then, but now they do know, and they have to face that, some of them, many of them, on a daily basis. And there are, I'm very thankful, a lot of post-abortion programs throughout the country to help women deal with it. As a Christian organization, we have it's a wonderful 8-week Bible study that helps them process and understand the healing that is found through a relationship, personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And that, Kathy, I'm so glad you pointed out that this is not protecting innocent life in a vacuum, but and the pro-life movement has been birthed out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is Christians who provide the muscle and the work in the pro-life movement. And so what we tell people, I'm a pastor, not only a talk show host, but a pastor of Denver Bible Church. And we tell people that we go to the abortion clinics and we're in this battle because we're trying to save the mother and the baby.
Correct.
It's both. There are two people there that God loves. The mother, who in her sin is deciding to kill her unborn child, and then the baby, who has every right to live and a chance at the blessings that we all should have the opportunity to enjoy.
Absolutely. And we, in pregnancy centers across the country, we focus on the client and her needs, because if you meet her needs and you reach her with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you've met the needs of the baby. Mm. And so if the clients feel like all we care about is their baby, you know, then they're not near as willing to listen to us and to share from their heart what right. is driving them to want to have that abortion.
Right. We see that some women truly have been manipulated and don't know and are ignorant.
Absolutely. And you know, it really is amazing all these years later that because we are a medical clinic, and therefore we offer free ultrasounds at 2 of our 3 offices. Mm. And when they see that little baby within them at 8 or 10 weeks, I mean, many of them have tears running down their faces. Oh. They just didn't know it was fully formed.
And the ones who truly don't know, they didn't know, and they're being manipulated, although I don't think that's the majority, though when you show them, they will thank you. And even like you said, they'll break down in tears and they'll hug you and thank you for helping me. And they will not go through with the decision to have an abortion. But then there are others whose hearts will get even harder.
Yes.
And that is so sad. Let me give the phone number to those who are thinking about, if you don't yet have a ticket for the banquet this Saturday, you've got to call Colorado Right to Life. In fact, Colorado Right to Life is the first Right to Life organization in the nation back when Colorado first legalized abortion under some circumstances in 1967. And the Colorado Right to Life is just an extraordinary organization. And every year we encourage people to come on out and join us. I will be there, many from our church. The phone number at Colorado Right to Life is 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394. And you could tell them, if you'd like, that you want to sit at a table with Denver Bible Church, or just go and enjoy meeting somebody that you have no idea who you're going to meet. The social hour is at 6, and that's always a lot of fun. And the dinner starts at 7. Or if you'd like, of course, you could call us at 800-8-NYART, and we'll be happy to sign you up and make sure you're sitting at one of our tables. So that's two ways to get to the dinner. And we're talking to Kathy Sparks, who's the keynote speaker for the evening at this Light on Life banquet. And by the way, it's at the Denver Sheridan West. That's at 6th Avenue and Sims Union, 6th and Sims. It's 360 Union Boulevard in Lakewood. And Kathy, I want to let you know, at Denver Bible Church, we have quite a group of families who attend church. We were planted by a Bible church across town 6 years ago. And our members go to one of our local abortion clinics almost on a daily basis. And we count the number of babies that are saved from the Roe v. Wade Day each year. And it's extraordinary. And what we do, we try to be careful and we don't count. Let's say somebody drives up and we talk to them for a minute and they sit in their car and then they drive away. We don't count that as a save. We only count a save if a mother, if a mom confirms that she had an appointment to have an abortion and she's changed her mind.
That's wonderful.
And you guys probably know that these moms will come back months later and bring their babies. And we have women at our church will throw showers, baby showers for the moms who've changed their minds. And so far this year, since Roe v. Wade Day in January, 76 babies have been saved at one abortion clinic at a Planned Parenthood.
Oh, Bob, that's exciting. That is so very encouraging.
Isn't that extraordinary?
That's wonderful.
And I only get down there once or twice a month. And that's there's really no excuse. I should be more involved. But I'm just so thrilled with the church members that we have that have done this year in and year out.
You know, that should really encourage the listeners because it does make a difference. And when I worked at the abortion clinic, there were many clients who would not keep their appointments. And they would call and they would tell us. The reason that they did not keep their appointment was because of the people who were doing the sidewalk counseling. They just didn't want to walk past them.
Wow.
So it really does make a difference. I do a lot of things. God has me doing many different things. One thing I have done is many seminars on effective sidewalk counseling, and I believe being down there at the abortion clinic right there can be one of the most effective ways to minister to women who are hurting right before they walk through those doors to get that abortion.
Well, it's what's so true that I've noticed is that the body of Christ has so many people with different gifts and different abilities. And we don't tell anybody that you have to volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center or you have to protest or you have to go to the banquet. But what we do tell people is that you have to love your neighbor. And if you know that in your community children are being killed, God doesn't give us the latitude to be apathetic and to not care.
You know, Bob, I totally completely agree. And the scripture that comes to my mind right away is, of course, Romans 12:4 talks about many parts of the body with Christ being the head, and that we are all called to do different things. But, you know, I personally feel that as believers and as Christians, we are all called to pray. I believe that it's a key issue, not only against our nation, but in the very heart of our Father God, that these little innocent babies that are being created in His image are being destroyed. And I think the very least that the body of Christ can do is to pray against this Holocaust, which we know and call abortion.
So that whether someone is a protester or whether they work to try to change our laws to protect innocent children, or whether they donate to the pro-life cause, or they speak out to their friends and neighbors and family and tell them why abortion is wrong. They come to this banquet Saturday night. I believe that God wants us to do something. It's not as though you could live in Nazi Germany 60 years ago and have a ministry to alcoholics and think you were doing what God wanted you to do.
Amen.
It depends on where the battle is while you're alive. And the battle, one of the fiercest battles being waged today that every Christian should be concerned with is the battle for the blood of unborn children, killing unborn children. And we have to fight that battle in one way or another.
I agree completely. I really do.
Kathy, so how did you end up in with crisis pregnancy centers?
Well, as I'll share more detail on Saturday night, so hopefully everyone will call that phone number and come to this wonderful banquet.
Yeah, you're not kidding. If anybody in the audience says, well, I heard Kathy, now I don't have to go, I'm going to be angry.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to give too much away, but,
yeah,
you know, we have to remember that I'm coming out to Colorado. Hopefully there's going to be such a turnout to support the Colorado Right to Life because of what they're doing, and that's why I'm flying out there. I love what they're doing. I love what that organization is all about. I'm 100% behind them, and that's why I'm coming. But I'll give you just a little bit. I will be sharing in detail how God delivered me and lifted the blinders from my eyes so that I could see that I was killing babies. And once God revealed that to me, I was broken. And it really, supernaturally, and I'll share the supernatural thing tomorrow, he spoke to me and to my heart that I needed to quit that abortion clinic, and he did it very quickly. I left the clinic, and really, my husband became a Christian 3 weeks after I did, and really, it was my conversion, when I actually became born again, that all of this transpired. And then Mike became a Christian 3 weeks later. We plugged ourselves into a local Bible church in our area, just a conservative Bible church, and grew in our faith, grew in the things of the Lord, and it was really 5 years later that God had given my husband a dream. And the dream, in this dream, Mike saw that we had begun an organization just like what we're doing, a pregnancy center, and we had not even heard of Birthright, which were the very first pregnancy center type organizations back in those days.
And yeah, how many crisis pregnancy centers, homes for unwed mothers, how many of these organizations are around the country? Do you have any
idea? I believe that there are over 5,000 of all of those types of either a maternity home or pregnancy center or Birthright or one of those wonderful organizations. I believe that there are over 5,000.
Just extraordinary.
A lot of different organizations. So, we have many, even just, I wish there was one in every single community.
Right.
Is what I would. But
so
anyway,
you guys were Christians for then 5 years.
Yes, and because it's such a spiritual battle, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And this is a huge principality. This whole abortion issue is the very heart of it is from the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
As long as the culture says it's okay to kill unborn children, what that does is it undermines the authority of God's word. God says, do not murder. In our culture and our government says, well, you can murder your children. And it takes away from the credibility that unbelievers should have naturally in God's law.
Yes.
They should know that do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not commit perjury, that these are absolute moral principles. But our culture does all that it can to undermine the connection that people would otherwise have with these basic laws of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Bob.
So you guys got in the battle, and you've been in it ever since.
Yes, we have. I started, after Mike had the dream, I was at the right place at the right time, and we can all tongue-in-cheek with that, and because God placed me there. I was at a Bible study with my sister, and I just barely mentioned that I used to work at an abortion clinic, and there was a woman there whose sister at that time was the president of the Illinois Federation of Right to Life.
Wow.
And she contacted me and asked me if I would share my testimony at their yearly banquet, which I did.
Oh, my.
So then for a year, I started doing speaking engagements, and then God, on one of those speaking engagements, God crossed my path with the lady who was interviewing me. It was talk show host, and she happened to be the president of the pregnancy center in Greater St. Louis. And so I took the training and actually counseled as a volunteer for 2.5 years in St. Louis, which is right across the river from Illinois here.
Right, right.
And then Mike and I met 5 other people who were of different denominations, just all Christians. And we all had a heart to begin something on the Illinois side of the river, and that's when New Beginnings Pregnancy Centers got started. And Mike served on the board all these years. He's edited the newsletter. We've both been in this battle for life for 22 years now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, praise God. And Kathy, thank you so much for being in this fight. And the numbers of lives that have been changed, you know, it's more than numbers, because Jesus Christ would have died for one.
Amen.
But the lives that have been changed, the mothers who've been brought to the Lord, the children who've been given a chance at life, we'll never know until, actually, we'll probably need an eternity to get to meet everybody and understand the impact of what it means to obey God and the eternal fruit that comes from that.
Yeah, I agree, Bob.
So, Kathy Sparks, thank you so much. And Saturday night, you'll be here, and we're going to be there to meet you and to listen to your story.
I'm looking forward to meeting all of you.
All right. God bless you, Kathy.
You too, Bob. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Boy, I appreciate Kathy Sparks coming out to Colorado from Illinois. And if you don't have your ticket yet, if you don't have your reservation, it's $50. And you could call Colorado Right to Life, or you could call us here at Bob and Yurt Live, either way. And if you'd like to sit with the Denver Bible Church folks, just let Linda know at Colorado Right to Life, or let us know. Now, it's easier if you call Colorado Right to Life directly, because that leaves out one step. So let me just give their phone number. It's 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394. Now, I'd like to talk to you about this Hurricane Rita is headed to shore again in the Gulf Coast, and it's now become a Category 5. And the photos of the hurricane are somewhat terrifying. And obviously, people need wisdom. So if you're going to pray, I recommend that you don't pray that God stops the hurricane. Don't pray that. But pray that our Christian leaders and our governing leaders and individual men and women will look to God for wisdom to make the right decisions to deal with this hurricane in advance so that they will prepare appropriately and the people who should evacuate will evacuate. So that's what I'm asking you to pray, and we are praying that. And by the way, Brian Rohrbaugh and I were in Florida the last couple days, and Hurricane Rita, it was unsure whether it was going to hit Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and the hotels were shuttering their windows, and we were in the first floor. We were booked into a room in the first floor of a 50-year-old hotel with Hurricane Rita bearing down on Florida, and everybody's boarding up their windows, and businesses are closing, and their lines at the gas stations. And so Brian and I thought, what are we going to stock up on, chips and Reese's peanut butter cups or what? So we checked out of our hotel room, first floor in a 50-year-old hotel, and we checked into a room on the fifth floor of a one-year-old hotel. And we figured we were in good shape, and we were. And what a time of fellowship we had down there. I don't have the time to talk about it right now, but I'll let you know about the trip later. But our telethon, we have taken in about $3,400 on our telethon, and our goal is $10,000. And every September, we try to raise $10,000, including getting some monthly subscribers or monthly pledges, monthly donations, people who sign up for our monthly videos or monthly Bible study albums or sermons. And this year, coincidentally with our telethon that every year is in September for keeping Bob and Yurt live on the internet at kgov.com, we had our debate with D. James Kennedy's a professor from his ministry that lasted for 6 weeks. And then Hurricane Katrina hit. And then Brian Rohrbaugh and I traveled to Florida. And now the Colorado Right to Life banquet. And this has not been a good month, a good year for me to promote our telethon, I'll tell you that. So we really need your help, because we haven't spent the whole month talking about the telethon. We've spent the month ministering and reaching out and trying to teach the word and urging people to do right. So we need your help. Please call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 800-836-9278 to pledge toward our telethon goal. Or you can go online to kgov.com and check out Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, a great school.